Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Literally Gaysians.
Literally Gaysians.
Hey, Literally Gaysians here, the podcast where two Gaysians get real about their feelings and literally Gaysian stuff. And this is Bao.
And this is Chris. We had a long Labor Day Beyonce weekend and I am exhausted. Maybe we should just catch up and kiki today.
Yeah, I feel the same. I overplanned this long weekend and am in a complete hangover and feel like we've had just so many amazing guests and a lot of great topics in the last few episodes. And we got to dig into a lot of Gaysian stuff, but we really haven't been digging into us and our own shit and our own feelings.
So our gift to you is a whole episode of just us.
Just us. But before we get into that, a few updates. Having a little admin moments, always fun in the beginning. So first, if you haven't already, please go to our show page on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and rate us 5 whole stars. Your rating helps people find our podcast, and the ratings so far have really helped the podcast, for example, shoot up in search results. Like if you search like gay podcast on Spotify, it can come up in the first page. So please go do that now, unless you're driving, in which case, actually just pull over on the side of the freeway and do it.
And next is the last call for any questions or advice from us. We're doing a listener mailbag episode soon, and we'll invite some guests to take on your Gaysian conundrums with extremely very non-expert advice.
And to do that, just leave a voice message or a DM at Literally Gaysians on Instagram or TikTok, and we'll add it to the list. And our last heads up, we are finally wrapping up the first season in a few episodes. We need to take a much needed break. We need some time to recover from the whole summer that we've had, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So thank you for tuning in so far into the episodes that we have released and the upcoming ones. And we're taking suggestions for episodes for the second season. So you can send those suggestions into Literally Gaysians on Instagram and TikTok as well.
What do you want to hate listen to us talk about?
And if you look at our comments, plenty of people do hate listen to us.
With that out of the way, let's get into it. What should we be real about?
I don't know, we've been traveling a lot. We've been fun employed together, but traveling a lot to different cities for our friends' milestone birthdays. And I feel like it's become like a theme and a thing this year.
This is the problem with having friends. They all have birthdays. But, you know, I think what's specifically different is that these were their milestone birthdays. Yeah, it's arbitrary, but, you know, we all still like to celebrate. We had 30-year-old birthdays, 40, and 50. We spanned the decades.
Oh, yeah. There was the 50. And I don't know, why did it all happen this year? It's just very interesting that it all kind of coincided. And I wish I had like a year to think about that so that I could have saved up more money to go on all these trips. Because I do feel like that's the thing of having a chosen family that you really do love to this point. And for us being privileged people who have saved up a lot of money and who have made a good amount from our jobs and be able to do this. But even with that, it was a little stressful trying to figure out like the budget for these things. And I tend to think of it, like I was trying to explain it to someone I was like having an interview with because I'm on this job search. And I said, I think it's like in a chosen family or my certain chosen family is a lot of single gay men or gay men who don't want to get married. So instead of having the heteronormative like bachelorette party or like a wedding that you spend a lot of time and resources to go to, we have the milestone birthday in place of that.
Yeah, we spend it on plane travel, overpriced food, and extracurricular activities.
Yes. And don't forget the drugs.
Oh, that's what you meant?
And don't forget the outfits. Like every one of these birthdays had dress-up themes. Yes. And at some point I was like, I cannot buy any more themes. Even Beyonce's trying to get me to buy clothes for her Renaissance
tour. And you
went
on her birthday. You were on her birthday tour.
I did not go on her birthday. I did go a few days before, but the birthday show was last night and it looked really cool. So where did we go?
You know, what's interesting is that I think I only was able to go because I got laid off this year. And I want to look at it as a blessing in disguise. I wouldn't have been able to do all these things. And I think I started in Mexico City and for the 30th birthday. And then the both of us were like, well, let's just continue to Oaxaca.
And then we went to Montreal.
That was beautiful. Also, like, really hot and kind of expensive. That was a really nice time. And then all the way on the other side of the country to Joshua Tree. And yet another set of themes to dress up for.
Yeah, and it wasn't a milestone birthday, but we did stop by PV between those two trips. So I felt like every other week or month we were going with our friends to these far-flung destinations and having an amazing time. But like, I felt like I didn't work, and I don't know how people who worked were able to make it on these trips and go back to work the next few days.
But at the same time, every time we went on one of these, we talked to folks, like at least half of the people all got laid off. So everyone, it was the year.
It was the running joke. Yeah. That, huh? That whoever actually has a job, which is half the people here, can foot the bill, and we'll eventually split Wise and Venmo everyone back.
I'm still going through that. I thought, oh, I'm doing pretty well, and then I'm paying off the split Wise. Like, oh, there goes all my runway for my unemployment. So I think it's time this week that I find a job.
I think I'm full on in that mode right now. I've interviewed with so many different jobs, and hopefully, you know, we'll have a good update soon. Maybe hopefully I will be able to work by October. So in the spirit of Be Real, did any complicated feelings come up for you during these trips?
One of the things I noticed was that there were a lot of couples on the trip, and it's always strange to be going out to the next like dinner or meal. And I'm always the third, fifth, seventh wheel. And, you know, everyone's like sharing their dishes and having their cutesy time. And I'm like, I'm over here, same. Like ordering that same large dish just by myself I was like, well, okay, that's cool. It did make me feel not lonely because I was clearly the most unlonely at these like big group trips. And it's what I enjoy doing. But I did feel more single.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have somebody else to split like everything else in my life with so that we can go on these trips.
Yeah, like those $50 Ubers to the airport, these little practical things, they just emotionally and monetarily add up. And, you know, like that 6 a.m. flight, I got to take a $60 Uber just all by myself. I'm like, oh. And then everyone else is like, oh, yeah, we're sharing a car over together because we live together and split that bill, too, for their home. And so I'm just like, oh, being single is costly.
Yeah, maybe it's time for some double income life. And once we get out of our in-between boyfriend stage, maybe we'll get our shit together to find at least someone just to split some of the bills with. For me, I think being far away from you guys for 4 years now, or living in a different city, I think it's always amazing to see everyone because you all know like the sides of me and the sides of each other because we've been through so much and grew so much together in those like almost like 15 years that we've known each other. It's a lot of loss, grief, breakups and divorces, a lot of health scares. So it's really nourishing to catch up with y'all. But one thing I'm noticing that was, I think, surprised me when we got together is that like some of these trips, I'm noticing a little bit of a sexual vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're all, some of us are noticing that a little bit more.
I hear you. No, I'm on the same page as you. I was wondering if that was something I should talk about, but here, let's go.
Yeah, I feel like some people who aren't part of our group squad, I'm sure they see these pictures and like, I wonder if any of them sleep together. But
no, I literally get that question before.
Oh, I mean, like, you've literally gotten that question.
Everyone's like, oh, do y'all just sleep with each other? I'm like, no. Well, actually, you know what?
I don't know.
I'm answering just for myself. No, I am not sleeping with everyone.
And I'm not answering that question, but maybe because we're older now and I think more liberal with our sexuality. And I think maybe because y'all live in SF, which is a lot more progressive about that, y'all celebrate that vibe a little bit more openly. If I'm honest, it caught me a little bit by surprise because I think when we've taken these trips before, it's a lot less of that vibe. It's a lot more friend bonding, trauma bonding, and less bondage. Just joking. We're not having any bondage at these parties. But I think there were like definitely more of a flirty sexual advances vibe that kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah, I saw that and I was usually a little too drunk to like handle those things. And then I would, you know, just kind of scurry off into a little corner and just like play some music in another room. But at the same time, I guess this is another aspect of it. I was a little bit jealous that sometimes I was, not jealous, envious, that I was not always like a part of those little like flirtatious rings, but you know, I guess it has two sides. Sometimes it's too much, sometimes it's too little. Whereas that's like in between. But like you said, this is not something that we started doing like when we used to do these like little vacations, but it has grown. And I think it's also cultural. It's just the sex positivity of queer culture in general, just especially here, it's so much more poly and sex positive and just.
I kind of came back from these trips wondering if, like, since you guys see each other a lot more, has that, like, that closeness invited that vibe a little bit more? Or is it because some of the maybe people I don't know as well that have joined your kind of group or family, you know, after I moved to LA, has that kind of changed that vibe? Because I just felt like left out of the fact that it was happening and surprised when some of the advances were coming to me. But I felt like I missed something there and I felt like further away from you guys because of it.
No, I think it's just, I think it was partly that there are some like different people, but like these last trips have been humongous. You know, before
it would be like 40, 50 people,
10, yeah. 15 people. You have 40 people. The dynamics are just going to be all over the place. I think it's just like the size of the group and the different personalities. And that we're all just so, we tend to like project a lot of openness. So everyone just felt so comfortable with each other when we're all like, we're our own little micro city. Of seeing each other constantly. Also, it was 90 to 100 degrees everywhere we went. A bunch of gay shirtless men sweating. You know, something's going to happen.
Yeah. And let's not forget the Molly. Let's not forget the fact that some of these people are on G. So let's not forget that some of the substances bring down the inhibitions. And I think for myself, I was just surprised because I feel like I used to be that kind of really open sexual person. And I wondered a couple of things, like processing whether or not I had just become a very different person or maybe less open living in LA.
Yeah, LA's changed you.
Yeah, and I think it wasn't that. I just feel like I still appreciate that like vibe. I probably just had different expectations coming in, so I was surprised. Right. I was like, oh, I thought, like, I've been on these trips before and we usually just have a dorky old time and there's not like threesomes being coordinated. But I also think there was a time in my life when I was pretty like in this constant pursuit of sex and on Grindr all the time and hooking up like every other day almost. Probably that time after I just broke up with my boyfriend of 5 years and I like, just kind of went on a rampage. And then it continued when I moved to LA as like the new boy. But I do think at some point I took a look at my life and didn't want to be just, when I was talking to a friend about this over a weekend who was visiting from SF, I didn't want to be like addicted to like the red dot on Grindr anymore or the Grindr notification anymore because I realized I chased it all the time as like a form of validation. And at some point, I mean, it was like borderline an addiction, an abuse issue for me.
It's that Pavlov's dog syndrome. You see that dot and you start salivating.
Yeah, I start salivating, going, or like you get a little rush. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that's why all my friends are doing that, because, you know, they're not on Grindr. They're not always in this pursuit of sex. But I do think it's personally my relationship to sex has changed. And
not you getting older.
I'm getting old. And maybe I'm just not as horny, but then again, I'm still watching too much porn. Maybe it's transferred to like a porn addiction, but we'll talk about that another time. But I do feel like it's not anything about them. It's just my personal just relationship to that. And I think like by this last trip, I was like, well, that's good for them. This is where I am in my life, and that's fine. Right. Yeah. But I do think it took a bit of an adjustment the last few trips.
Yeah. Oh, on a side note, now you said that about porn. I remember like there was this therapist who was saying, try to not watch porn for like a while, like weeks at a time, to help reset your brain. And because it starts to, you know, like how everyone says, like seeing porn, it's all fake. All the hard parts of sex are all cut out. And you start to envision these certain way about your life and your sexual relationship with people. And that you may try harder to meet people, and you're just the way you interact with men, other men will change and maybe be a lot less, I don't know, lot less hard in trying to interact with people. Like maybe you're not only thinking about, oh, will he be perfect in this way in bed or something like that. And it may make sex easier, jerking off different, all that kind of stuff. I just wanted to throw it in there because it made me think of that. Because I was thinking about it last night while watching porn. maybe I should like take a break for a little while from it.
With your post nut clarity. Yeah. Like, oh, maybe I don't want to do this so much. Watching porn is one of, it's on my like list of things to talk to my therapist about, or like to like unpack in therapy. And I haven't really gotten there, but maybe I'll give that a try. Cause I do think it's, you know, talking about resetting your brain. I do feel like since Coachella to like last week, we've just been partying and just every other week coming back into like that same mindset. And I do think maybe I need a little break from things, just like reset my brain. And I think, I don't know if you knew this, I think you did, but like on that last Joshua Tree trip, I had like a pretty bad acid trip. It wasn't as bad as that, like that traumatic one that, you know, you and I were there for like last year. Mm-hmm. And I just think I realized just acid isn't just for me anymore. It's just one of those drugs that if I'm stuck inside a house with other people, it just feeds this like anxiety monster and makes it worse. And I just feel like I'm lucky to be in a part of my life to realize when that's happening and when and what to do. Mm-hmm. And that I had so many understanding friends who took a break from their own amazing acid trips or like roles just to sit down with me and help calm down that monster. Some people who are really trained in talking to someone or grounding someone in that state. So you know who you are and I love you, but yeah, I don't think that type of environment or acid is really for me anymore. And I think this is another symptom of getting older. Like the number of drugs that you can do are just going to narrow. And so, yeah, I'm just going to take just a little break from everything, reset that brain.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been honestly very happy and excited to take that break because, you know, I moved. I'm still barely unpacked. And all I've done is party. It led to possibly a health scare. I don't know. I started like getting woozy and a little dizzy after getting back from Joshua Tree. And I just chalked it up to the heat because it was 105 degree weather out in Palm Springs. But last week I went and got a CT scan. I got scared. I went to the doctor, check out, see if anything's going on. So far, not a big issue, but it's too much. I ain't no spring chicken anymore. And so I'm excited to take it easy and get back on track to a routine, grow my hair out, stop bleaching it for just a little while, not too long. And, you know, stop, as they say, going through it. It's time to not go through it and just be chill and relax. Play a video game. I don't know what yet.
We're in the same place, that sabbatical stages of crisis where we just were doing the most, changing our hair colors and really just like devouring life in this certain like way, just because we had all this time off and no boundaries. And now I think it's the time where like, well, that was really fun. I think we need to get back into, yeah, that routine and just to feel a little bit calmer, because that was an amazing few months, but also really wild.
And, you know, and I think it's not just us, because, you know, all these like capitalist evils laying off everyone. The more people I talk to are in very similar situations. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're tired, even though they're not doing anything. They wake up at 2 p.m., play games till 4 in the morning. And they're like us, trying to figure out what to do with themselves. But at the same time, what do we do? Are people hiring? And is that even the answer? Are there other things that we could be doing with ourselves? Like, I sure did not learn a new speaking language, learn how to DJ, make any music or anything during these several months off. So like, maybe it is time to actually like take on one of those real pursuits. Not to say that I regret doing any of the stuff I've done the last few months. I just regret not doing more during the last few months.
Yeah, I think we did a lot of the travel, though. I will say that. And I wondered if I should have done more travel. But every time I go on these trips, by a certain time, I want to be back in my bed. So, and I have a friend, and we have a friend who's like just jumping from city to city for a few months, and it sounds, and they kind of liquidated all their stuff. And I thought, I think that sounds great, but that wasn't kind of what I was looking for. And I think, and we're talking about being fun employed, like, people don't talk about the bad days, because there's some bad days when maybe you forgot to plan something. And so you would just get kind of lost in like your own milieu of the day.
And suddenly it's dark and you're like, wow, I did nothing today besides make lunch. And now it's time to go to sleep.
And just feel like just so unproductive. And every time I feel that, I wonder just like, did I make the right decision? Or am I really healing, right? Am I really taking this time to heal?
I tell myself on those days that when I say, oh God, that was really unproductive, I'm like, well, what is productive supposed to mean? Like, why are we always thinking we have to produce? Like, yeah, I get it. Is it really restful or not? But sometimes they say when you're burnt out, it takes an extremely long time to recover from it. And you were burnt out. And I know you've been like not working for a while, but that's not, I wouldn't say that we ever will recover from it. We're still going to have like lasting scars from like whatever the last thing like did to us.
And I'm about to go back into it again. And I did have this like, it took a few days for me to process my bad acid trip, in that like I had these feelings of disappointment in myself that I thought I worked a lot on my anxiety and that it got better, especially this last year of taking time off, and that I found my peace. And I felt like, did I just end up back in the same place in the beginning?
No, progress, not perfection. You never perfect it.
Yeah, I know. And I got to that point. I'm like, well, the good part is that, yeah, I didn't have a full-on panic attack. and that it has gotten better. I just kind of know the triggers of it, which is probably no more acid, but this time off alone has had its ups and downs.
Well, what was like that? I sent you that article a couple of weeks ago from The Atlantic about like time off, like what is like good time off. And they found that like you just being like having time off alone isn't necessarily the best for you. That studies showed that antidepressant usage went way down in the summers when people had time off together with other people, or on the weekends. Therapists were saying that people on the weekends, even though they were like say unemployed, had more like useful time when they were with other people. So, I mean, that speaks to like us as human beings, that we are social people, and just time alone isn't necessarily healing. It's time with who you love. Sometimes alone, not all, but yeah. I know that for myself, I like my alone time, but the majority of it, I like to be with everyone else. We clearly both have been doing a lot of that.
Well, let me ask you this. now that we are not, we don't have to like plan for these trips and go on these trips anymore, and we still have some fun employment left, like what's one thing you're going to do today to like change up your routine?
Well, I've had like plans of like finally getting curtains for my damn room and help like do stuff with my family's place. So they're like very practical things. And then tomorrow, start looking at job descriptions, very boring stuff. But for the, on the funner side of things, I also am looking to maybe dabble in some visual arts. I'm going to learn to do some interactive art pieces and digital. And I think that's different than what I've been doing day to day. And I'm excited about it. I just don't know yet how fast or how well I'm going to get into it. But maybe be on the lookout. Watch my Instagram. I'll post it.
Yeah, maybe you can work on our art for tomorrow's episode or for this episode to warm up.
Okay. I'm going to play more with the AI art of our faces.
For me, whenever I get into this mode where I think I'm stuck in like this alone time, I think about how I was able to like reboot myself during the pandemic, right? Because during the pandemic, everyone has been through this where the time off alone, not seeing people really got to them. I hit a rock bottom, like, probably in July of 2020, before I kind of like got into therapy and kind of rebooted my life and found different things to do. And I think I'm going to get back into tennis. Like, it's a good time for me to see my dad. And then I might take a language class. I heard of another kind of a friend's friend who just started sabbatical, and they just planned everything. They go fly fishing. They have a Tagalog tutor from the Philippines that they see twice a week. And they volunteer or something. I started comparing myself to that and being like, well, maybe I wasn't productive, but no, I did what was right for me during kind of my sabbatical. But it is nice to kind of like inspiring to see someone do that and really like just like schedule it so you do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think it's like those personality types that are good at thinking outside of the box sometimes about what they want. I think one of the issues sometimes for myself is I don't know always what I want. So like, I think if I knew more clearly, like what I was passionate about wanting, I'd probably get to it more, and it actually makes me think about when we were traveling. I've learned that, you know, there's all those memes lately about, that one girl who keeps showing like they're like the bossy travel friend making all the like plans and the decisions. And although they're funny and it's fun to make fun of them, I'm like, I honestly really like those people as I've gotten older on the trip, because I think I like to be a travel bottom. Like I want someone else to make all the decisions, because I always think I might either be making the wrong one, like pick the wrong restaurant, pick the wrong activity, and it won't be fun for everyone. And it worked really well. We've both traveled with a bunch of travel tops. And although I am poorer because of it, I've really enjoyed a lot of experiences that I probably wouldn't have never chosen for myself. Or chosen by myself. When I hear other people, like you're saying, you're listening to your friend about what they did, I wouldn't think of it as comparing yourself. I almost think of it, oh, that's inspiration for something I could do that I just didn't think of.
Yeah. And that's what I'm taking from it. And I might just really try to find a Vietnamese tutor. And no, I agree. I prefer to call our friends like who plan these trips very well, like travel doms, because you could be a dom bottom. And I try not just trust the process, and I carve out this whatever space, whatever help they need to delegate to me. But it, because these last few trips have been so well planned, I find that I might not want my own 40th birthday trip or party just because the bar is so high on how organized everyone's going to expect it to be that I just like don't want to plan it. And I don't know. I haven't celebrated my birthday since before the pandemic. And it just makes me wonder, is there something deeper down there that makes me just not want to celebrate? Or is that just like kind of me and how I like to spend my birthday and just chill like that. But I don't know. But I do appreciate those people who you need to just Venmo and you need to just sign up somewhere and they organize everything else, that we're fed, that we have the right sleeping arrangements, that we avoid our allergies. Like, these friends are just so freaking on top of it.
I like the spreadsheet craziness. It's amazing to me how, even though there it's an entirely chaotic week, it could have been worse. It could be an absolute mess. Especially when you're trying to organize 30, 40 people. I think you should do, wait, what's your next birthday number?
40? I'm 39 in January, but I'm 40.
So you have time.
I have time.
You have time to rest and break. But you and I both know that there's a bunch of people turning 40 in that similar time. But I don't know. I think I would love to celebrate it, even if it just like going to a single location, like in your hometown, just like at a nice large space, so we can all talk shit about you together.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
All right, I think another thing we should catch up on is, I guess, a recurring theme on this podcast, which is the theme of our parents or parents in general. I know personally for me, there's been a lot that's been going on, but especially for you, don't you? Mm-hmm. Everything that's kind of shifted in your family in the last few months. So, how's it going on that front?
It's like, it's so weird always trying to I feel very selfish sometimes thinking, oh, I feel so obligated to do something. But like, I don't know why, like, I don't feel more excited to do things with my mom. Sometimes I enjoy it, but she makes it quite hard to enjoy time with her. Mm-hmm. And it's that constant battle. I'm like, oh, do I spend time with every family because of obligation or because I enjoy it? And it's probably a little bit more out of obligation. I just wish sometimes my mom was more self-sufficient. And she grew up in a time where that wasn't a thing for her. And she's so old school. She just doesn't learn anything new. And I didn't realize that I had as much of an issue with it until both my siblings told me to go easy on my mom. I never thought like I was all that rough on her, but I guess I call her out on all her bullshit. And both of my brother and sister, they always just say, yeah, I just ignore it. I just don't say anything back. I'm like, oh, I'd like, how? Like, she says some of the meanest, rudest things. And I even gave her an ultimatum to that if she calls me, she has to ask how I'm doing, or when she sees me, say one good thing about me. She has not done either of those things. Yet I still go back and I still answer the phone, but I tried.
Yeah. And how's everything with your dad? You know, recently lost him.
It's funny because like that part is not so bad. I think we all were emotionally prepared. We saw it coming because of his deteriorating health. It did make me very suddenly afraid for my health when like the weeks after he passed away. I think it was like this weird combination of like, I was having like some weird like problems, and it just coincided with that. And he's had a young history of having like health conditions like strokes and stuff. So I was like, all right, I'm next to go, like right now. But I think he was ready. Most people were ready, except maybe my mom. I think the biggest problem was actually my mom. She's the biggest like issue dealing with my dad's like passing. And if it's not one thing or it's another, and it makes me like wonder, like, are a lot of these like personal mental health issues I have, or the way I interact with people, are probably a lot to do with how I grew up with her. She's sometimes kind of awful.
But we still love them, or have to love them. Yeah, I guess
have to love them. That's where I'm living in. That's the world I'm living in right now.
Yeah, I kind of feel you on that. And I feel like a lot of us are at this stage, if we go to therapy, an Asian American, have immigrant parents, at this stage where we're like, why did you do all that fucked up stuff to me when we were younger? Because it was repressed, or maybe it's coming up. A lot of us, I feel like, are in different stages of accepting that. Because we can't, I don't know, we're not going to be able to change them. Or mm-hmm. you're going to convince them to go to therapy? I don't think so. And I think some of my friends are at a point where they need space from their parents as they work through this. Mm-hmm. And I think we was with a bunch of like straight girlfriends and we were talking about this. And I just think, like, are we just going to sit here and complain about our parents, even though they've done so much for us, but really complain about like the trauma of that mm-hmm. for how long? Or what I expect is like maybe in 5 years, we'll look back like, oh yeah, I remember we were processing all that and now everything's good. We've just not kind of like accepted it. Because I do feel like I'm moving a little bit towards the acceptance stage. Uh-huh. Because ever since we had like the one aging parents episode where I think this was all starting to be a little bit new to us, I feel like, you know, I've evolved on it, or like I've done a better job at accepting my parents for kind of what they knew and who they were. The biggest thing with my mom since that episode is that she's coming to terms that me and my sister are probably going to live queer lives for the rest of our lives. I thought she had already known that, but I think what we came up across is like this idea that, so my sister is a lesbian, as you know, and there was this topic of just me and my sister being married or possibly getting married. And I think that's when it kind of hit my mom that, oh shit, you guys are really gonna marry, you're gonna really marry in this queer way, you're gonna marry like the same sex or something. And I talked to my mom trying to leave some space for her to like be able to talk to us about it, because she said when she realized that, she felt very far away from us and very lonely. And she already feels lonely and far away from us because she lives in Hanoi. But when I talked to her, I think what she said very honestly to me was that she was probably holding on to the fact that we would change and make change our minds one day and marry straight. And that the way she was raised is hard for her to accept that. And I think I wanted to leave that space for her to tell me that and to make her feel comfortable when I did. But I feel like at what cost? Because after that, I just felt terrible. Like those are kind of hard things to hear. Uh-huh. And you know, on the topic of kids, and then we talked on that fatherhood episode with Ed and Bobby about just my mom like wanting me to like throw some sperm over to some like lesbian in Vietnam, and my mom would raise the kid. And I'm like, well, that's not how I want to do it.
And like, what does that benefit her? Either.
She wants a grandchild. That's yeah. all. But that doesn't benefit me at all, right? Or that's not how I want to have a kid. Anyway, I think hearing from Ed and Bobby and hearing their stories about how their own parents took some time, or their own challenges, or how their relationship changed with their parents when they started entering the stage of like getting married and like having kids. And that was challenging at first, but it eventually became better. It made me feel a little bit better on this and less alone. I've been reading advice columns a lot, just because I think they're interesting. I just want to hear about other people's problems. And one person asked about like, my mom's being shitty, so should I just disown her? Right? It's weird when I try to connect with her and like I try to stand up for my boundaries and she's just being awful, and should I just disown her? And the person giving the advice on the advice column was actually pretty interesting. She was like, well, first of all, do you want my advice, or do you just want to rant? Or do you want me to validate what you already want to do, which is like you're annoyed with your mom, you just want permission to stop talking to her, mm-hmm. which I thought was like, oh, pretty good call out. But the second thing she brought up was like, she tended to find that very few people in your life knew you through different stages of your life. And you're going to regret, if you cut ties from them, you're going to lose that. And you'll realize how valuable that is, like, way too late.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I think that's why I haven't, like, tried to cut my family out from my life, because I don't want to have that regret. But at the same time, you know, like you were saying, you hear about these people who have, like, a hardship with their parents and then they move on from it, like, over time. Mm-hmm. I have always wondered what I could have done different in with the, like, doing those things. I've always been too scared, thinking, oh, what if it doesn't work out? Or what if, like, it takes too long? I don't want to put in the effort, or I don't really care. Like, I've never come out to my parents, really. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of figured they knew and just didn't talk about it in that very, like, Chinese way. But the way my mom talks about me, like, getting married to a woman sometimes, I'm like, she did not put that together. But what I was thinking was, like, well, it goes both ways. We keep trying to change them, and your mom keeps waiting for you to change. We both got to just let it go and just say, like, oh, our each other grew into these people who are not necessarily going to change that much for someone else's expectations.
Yeah, my mom did this thing, though, which I thought was cute, is that she's trying. Like, and she realized that. And so apparently she's just been on Netflix trying to watch as much LGBTQ content as possible to understand. Like, and then she and my dad have been divorced for, like, more than 20 years, or about 20 years. And she decided to just pull him into it. And she's like, because my dad has not acknowledged anything, but his actions acknowledge that he loves us and he loves our partners, but he's never really, like, said it out loud. My mom was trying to pull him in, like, you need to do this and that, and trying to start all this drama that my dad was not, like, being as of a queer accepting person as she is. And I told her, like, you know, just, I guess the bar is low for both of them. Like, I think they didn't kick me out of the house. I have a relationship with them. It's not going to be perfect. And they're working on it. They've gotten so much better over the years, and there's not a lot of years left. There's not a lot of years left, and that kind of dictates how I am spending my life now, right? Because I am only looking for jobs that will allow me to remain remote or in Los Angeles, because I want to be near my dad during these years. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every time I meet people out and they're like, yeah, I used to live in London, like, exciting places, New York, London, Singapore, Thailand, Hong Kong, but I moved back to LA to be closer to my parents at this age, especially people of our age.
Yeah.
You have your own kind of, like, attachment to that, or, like, staying close, right? Staying close to be your parents.
Yeah. I was thinking about how, like, we both, like, right now in our lives are in these cities that we may not necessarily want to be in. Like, I've grown up here in San Francisco, and although do I have an emotional attachment to it, like, in combination with it being kind of shitty here now and how I've always wanted to live in so many other cities, but it always felt like my parents were on their, like, last years and I need to take care of them. And if I had known what I knew now, I could have, like, up and left. And but still, there's always that idea, oh, you just come back. And I hate that I always compare, like, that to, you know, non-Asian families. Like, all these kids that just move away and they're done. That's it. And their parents are self-sufficient, not always asking them to come back and do stuff for them. And how you're saying, there's so many people we know around our age, but we also tend to have a lot more people of color friends who were raised in that way that you need to come back, take care of your parents. There's, like, pluses and minuses. I love that that's how we're brought up, but then it really cuts into this idea of having an independent life. Like, how do we live our freewheeling, independent, queer lives, traveling the world, when you get that one call, you're like, oh, gonna run back. And so you're in LA, I'm still in San Francisco. And what do we do with that? I don't hate it, but it's not my first choice.
I have come to accept that I love LA and I want to stay here. In the job search, there were a lot of roles in San Francisco and a lot of roles in New York. I personally think after the pandemic, I don't want to uproot my life again. Mm-hmm. And I'm just barely kind of, like, putting down roots now in LA. And I just don't want to be having a grand old time in some city like London or New York and get this call about my dad and then like feel really guilty that I wasn't there or wasn't or closer to help. So I just think it's what I need right now. I used to have all these like really selfish kind of thoughts about like, well, all my friends, their parents are at least like 10 years younger and self-sufficient in a different way. And at some point I'm like, oh, I wish I had that luxury. But at some point you just accept things you can't change that. This is what you need. This is kind of what you need to do. It's the duty. And I think like that's an Asian American, very like Asian thing.
Yeah. I always thought because they call in Cantonese Lai Jai, the last kid. And in English, I would sometimes say that I was the happy accident because my parents were a lot older when they had me. And I was 12 when my dad had his first stroke. So I always felt like having older parents really sucked. And I felt left out because there was, I think I've said this before, my siblings have very different relationship with my parents. They spend a lot of time with them. And by the time I came around, you know, the world had changed, they had changed, and they had both full-time jobs. So I raised myself. I was raised by my sister and had to, at a very young age, deal with sickness in my life. And I selfishly would always think that was so unfair. But, you know, it happens. And it's not just me. Plenty of people go through this. And I hate that I compare myself to others. But during that fatherhood episode, when people were bringing up, ooh, to have a kid at an older age, I was like, oh, I wouldn't want to, like, I partly don't want to have kids now because I don't want to be like in my like 60s, 70s trying to raise a teenager. I mean, the other half is because I'm selfish. I don't want kids, but I don't want to be like chasing after a teenager with a cane.
Yeah, I think, you know, we opened that episode wondering if we could have kids and that Ed and Bobby really talked to their experiences. I'm pretty sure I left that episode pretty sure I'm not going to have kids. Like, well, that really answered it. I think it's amazing. That one was a really great episode. I enjoyed
it. And good for them. Good for them. Not me.
And, you know, I don't think of it as comparing. I think, again, a lot of our friends are going through it. I don't think of it as comparing. I think it was as being able to talk to each other about it and being in community about it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the kids thing, we are able to have Eddie and Bobby and talk through stuff like that. I think on this stuff going on with our parents, I have a friend and a couple of friends who are going through some stuff and we are able to talk about this, just our fears, that guilt and stuff that we can do. Like, for example, if you have siblings, splitting up like the doctor's appointments and stuff. And so I think it's been nice to really kind of lean on chosen family too, to deal with the biological family stuff.
Yeah. I sometimes wouldn't know what I would do without the chosen family and trying to deal with it all on my own. And I would consider myself really lucky right now too, because my siblings took care a lot of the stuff with my parents. When for some reason, like 10, 15 years ago, when I stayed in the city to so-called take care of my parents, I thought I was going to be the one doing all of the work. I thought like it was my responsibility because I was the youngest and I was around. They were doing their own thing with getting married or just doing all this stuff and I'll be left with it all. And somehow I didn't do anything. I did nothing. I was just emotional support occasionally. And I'm not sure where I got this idea where I had so much responsibility. I think it's just the general Asian upbringing that you have responsibility.
Internalized. Mm-hmm. It's internalized. I'm lucky for my sister who's a firefighter. So like instinctually is a very caretaker kind of person and is great. It's just been amazing through all of this and having the opportunity to also lean on her too.
Sometimes I do think, oh God, wish I knew this earlier. Or like even now they're doing so well. Like, am I too old to move away right now?
Yeah, I think you can think about that.
Yeah. I don't know what to do about that. But that also means meeting new friends in my 40s. It's not the same. That is another thing I learned about myself in all of our travels. When we go out, everyone is so much younger. How would I make new similarly aged friends? Like, I would have to put so much more effort into meeting folks. And, you know, we're a different breed. We are people our age that love to, like, be social, to be out. And I feel like so many of my friends from when I was younger have, you know, become much more homebodies. And yeah. It's not a bad thing. It just leaves me a lot more lonely at home sometimes.
Well, there's actually a loneliness epidemic in America. So my therapist tells me. Mm-hmm. And I've felt that during the pandemic, obviously, and then the kind of living in a new city in LA after that. But I've been on quite a journey about it. I just realized in your 30s to be more intentional about hanging out, especially in LA. I feel like in SF, it's so small that you can just run into friends all the time and just like lock into like the roller coaster and the inertia of everybody doing their own kind of birthdays and dogs' birthdays and like milestone birthdays and parties and all these different events, and then like have like your whole social calendar planned. I think in LA it's very different. I think I don't have like one core group. It's like different people that took a while to find and that you have to be intentional with. Like, I literally have a list that, knowing me as a Capricorn and just me being type A, like, I have a list of people, like, if I haven't talked to them and hung out in a while, there's a list of people to remember to follow up with if I like get plans canceled or have like a free weekend. And I realize it's a lot of work and I don't want to do that again in another city, right? Yeah. To start building like friendships like that. So,
oh my God, how did you say that? It's weird that you put into words what I think I might've been wanting or needing to do. And because I think I'm just also bad at calling up people to do things. And I think it's partly, I just don't know where my brain is with those things. And the one thing that might be is that folks who have ADHD, it's that out of sight, out of mind. And like, I just, if I don't see you, I just like forget about you or like a thing. Mm-hmm. But I could always easily pick up where it left off once it happens. So, but I never call people. I always rely on other people to do it for me. Like I said, I'm the travel bottom. I rely on others to put the initial efforts in. But once I'm there, I'm all in. I put all the work in, but I just can't plan ahead.
Yeah. That's the thing. Because I think I was spoiled in that sense when I lived in SF. There was always plans. And people are like, who wants to go to this? Right. And I think in LA, either like some of those plans I'm not into, or it's just very different in LA. Like, people are very intentional with their time because you have to drive everywhere. And I realized that, like, for example, there's a friend that's really close to me, but because she's lived in different cities and I feel like we just lost touch. Except for like once in a while texting each other and being on Instagram. And so at this point, I was like, well, the only way, I hate FaceTiming, but the only way I get to continue to have a relationship, a friendship with you is we just FaceTime every month, have like a one-on-one, basically like a work one-on-one every month. And I think that's been really nice. And it's something I feel like Gen Z is a lot better at. But I'm trying to question some of my, like, these things that I prefer and whether I prefer that over like losing a friendship. And I think, no, let's be more intentional with the friendships. So,
yeah. I think we're living as geriatric millennials. Yeah. and me as a zennial. There are these things that we learned, like all those memes about like never wanting to like pick up a phone call, and all these memes about everyone being introverts. Like as you said, like there's this epidemic of loneliness. Because I think we, for like many years, were putting up on a pedestal all of this like introversion. I'm like, do this. I'm like, well, look at what it's done to us all. And we are so afraid to like talk to each other sometimes. And like you said about the FaceTimes, it kind of freaks me out. But all of like my younger friends who like do it, once I do answer, I was like, oh, that was really nice. That was really nice seeing their face and talking to them for a little bit. I'm like, I just got to get over some of those old fears that we all learned during these last few years.
that's a great way to end the episode. So the key takeaways to me, we still travel and party too much. Uh-huh. We're still not employed.
We got to be more intentional with our actions.
Yes. We still struggle with our parents and that we're old. Uh-huh. We're still old.
Aging. Not old.
Geriatric.
Geriatric. And also progress, not perfection.
Yes.
It's always a path.
Yes. And that's a perfect time then to end and wrap this episode. So thanks for joining us, everyone, on that little vent session.
And remember to go onto your respective listening devices and places and rate us 5 stars or leave a comment. I mean, even if it's a hate comment, we want to know how we can do better. And if we don't like what you say, we'll ignore you. Find us on TikTok and Instagram at Literally Gaysians.
And join us for our last few episodes of the season over the next few weeks. And until then, bye.
Bye. If you see this reel and you liked my shirt, go to the rice.rockettes Instagram. You can order a Rice Rockettes, my drag troupe t-shirt. It's very cute.
Sell that merch. Push that merch. All right. Bye, everyone.
Later.